It's Wednesday, January 25th, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world.
Like a dramatic pause.
Yeah. I was just thinking about my opening segment, my opening bit.
Wow, I was trying to save you there. I knew what it was, and then...
Yeah. So, fun fact. Did you know, if you ask Siri... Siri being the AI assistant on Apple devices.
Yep.
If you ask Siri, when is Chinese New Year's? She responds with, New Year's is January 1st.
Huh.
Interesting, right? And I thought to myself, okay, Apple's trying to be politically correct. More than just the Chinese celebrate the Lunar New Year.
Right.
You know, i.e. Vietnamese and the Koreans as well. And more and others. And so I said, okay, Siri... When is the Lunar New Year? And yeah. You know how she responded back to me?
What?
Chinese New Year's is January 28th.
That's hilarious. Siri is a racist.
I was so taken aback. I was like, this is bullshit.
Some bull-ass shit.
Yeah.
I still think my favorite AI, voiced AI thing that's happened recently is when the little kid was using the Amazon Echo.
Oh, yeah.
And they started listing off a bunch of porn videos.
Yeah.
That was great. Mm-hmm. That was a good video. That was fantastic.
But yes, anyways, yes. Year of the Lunar New Year, Chinese New Year, is coming up this Saturday. It's the Year of the Rooster, and to celebrate it, Overwatch is having an event.
Cool.
Yeah, it's called Year of the Rooster.
Oh, I thought we were just spouting out cool facts. I had a cool fact that I learned recently.
No. That's my pick this week. I haven't talked about Overwatch in a couple weeks. So it's about time that, you know...
To the podcast, but not to me. It's been like 30 minutes since you talked to me about Overwatch.
So they got a new event, new skins. I think their skins for this event is probably my favorite overall.
There's a lot of cool skins in this event.
Yeah.
I like that Winston is just Wukong.
Yeah.
Like, he's just the Monkey King. It's so cool.
Yeah. Mei's just straight up.
Mei's Bae.
Yeah, she is. And she's got, in addition to her, two awesome skins.
Mm-hmm.
She has a victory pose where she's holding the Lucky Money.
Yeah.
D.Va finally has a new legendary skin, which is nice. Reinhardt's looking cool.
I don't know what that one is supposed to be.
So, in Korea,
when
they celebrate
the Lunar New Year,
the dress she wears...
The Chinese New Year.
Yes. The dress she wears is a traditional Korean dress.
Oh, okay.
The mech, I don't really know what it's supposed to be. To me, it looks like it's inspired off of, like, lanterns and whatnot.
Or maybe like a building dress or something, like a building dressing or something.
Yeah, so I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
But it's kind of weird now seeing D.Va in a dress, because you see her in like the one piece suit or the pants.
Yeah, that is where she's not just like skin tight gamer gear, right?
Yeah. She's wearing a dress and you're like, what is happening? It's kind of cool. I like it. It's different.
If only she was eating like a bowl of kimchi as well. I mean.
Yeah, and then they introduced a new game mode called Capture the Flag.
That's fucking hot. Oh my god.
Yeah. I told you it was hot.
Sorry, I burned my hand on some of my tea. It's really hot.
Yeah, so they introduced Capture the Flag. Actually, they called it Capture the Rooster.
Is this a limited time event?
It is for 3 weeks.
Because this seems like a really awesome event, like a really awesome play mode.
So the thing is, back in the early days, the Blizzard had said that for a long time they wanted to incorporate Capture the Flag into Overwatch.
Uh-huh.
But they just couldn't because some heroes are just naturally better at the thing. And they didn't want to make it so they'd have to limit hero choice for it.
Oh, okay.
And that became a process that they could not balance out very well.
Alright.
So for this event, what they did, they said is, fuck the balance. We're just going to let you play whatever you want.
Okay.
And so they put it in. And as you would expect, heroes that have more mobility, based kits are far more effective.
So like... What's that new girl, the invisible girl?
Sombra is awesome. Because she can stealth into there and she can
whatnot. I assume Tracer's also out of control.
Tracer's great if you could pick up the flag with Tracer.
Oh, okay.
So the one thing they did was they said, you can't just walk up to the flag and pick it up. There is a 1 second, pickup time.
Like, you gotta be like, one. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's more than 1 second. It might be like 1.5. And both flags can be picked up, like... You and the opposing team's flag can be picked up at the same time. Like you don't have to have yours to whatever to get theirs.
Okay.
So that episode makes it hectic. So it's all about balancing, you know, how many of your team goes out to fight, how many stays in defense. As you imagine, the defenders are all about Symmetra and Torbjorn.
Makes sense.
Right, because you cannot pick up the flag if you're being attacked.
Oh.
So the minute, like, one of those turrets locks on, you're not picking
up. So, like, there has to be, like, is there just, like a crew that's pretty much, like, base clear crew?
Kind of, yeah.
Like, here's the Reinhardt with the shield, and then here's the Junkrat just lobbing grenades, hoping to hit the turret.
So, like, my strategy has been pick Winston, because Winston has the bubble.
Yeah.
And then you put the bubble down in the middle.
Of the flag,
and nothing can touch you. Okay. Like, none of the turrets can touch you. And then it usually it holds up long enough for you to grab it.
Okay.
And hopefully if you grab it, you could jump out. Or if you're really good, you have Winston's ult ready.
Oh, okay.
You turn to Primal Rage, and Primal Rage gives you, like, the 1 second cooldown on his leap.
Mm.
So you can just keep leaping and leaping and leaping.
Also, if anybody's in your way, you just knock him back.
Right, yeah. And you have 1,000 health, so you're, like, unstoppable.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, so that's been my go-to, but it's been pretty fun. It's different. It mixes up the game. They switched out Lijiang Tower for it, so it looks a bit more festive. It's nice.
Okay.
That's a new game. I'm enjoying that. There's a bit of controversy around this event, though.
Is it what I think it is?
Tell me.
Is it not politically correct enough?
Close. No.
God damn it.
No, it's not that.
All these goddamn liberals.
It's not that. It's about May.
Okay.
For a long time, you know, people liked May.
Because she's bae?
That too, and because she's not a skinny, unattainable supermodel type character.
Yeah.
Her new skin, her Chinese, is a dress that really outlines her body as opposed to the jacket.
Like what it looks like?
Yes.
Yeah, it's winter clothes. What did you expect?
And a lot of people thought that May was like this fat chick. Like really fat. Like that's why she had those big...
No, man, she's just
thick.
She's born with it.
Yeah, she's just curvy.
Like,
and a lot of people are, and like you can see in her new outfit that she got like she got that hourglass figure. Like she's got super tight waist.
Yeah,
and the thick thighs, and a lot of the fandom are upset.
That I never once in my life thought that she was a plus size girl.
Neither did I. I never thought that too. But I mean, I guess a lot of people latched onto that idea because they saw the jacket.
Dude,
it's winter.
It's winter.
I mean, but then...
She literally freezes herself.
But Anthony, we live in Canada, where we see winter jackets all the time.
So these are just people who live near oceans.
Right, and they're like, the people who've never seen a winter jacket, and they don't understand that, listen, you cannot judge a female's figure by her winter jacket.
Yeah, no, it doesn't count.
Yeah, like...
You can judge how well they accessorize by their winter outfits.
Sure,
but you cannot tell a figure by their winter outfit.
Small little story for all you not here in Canada. When we go out to the clubs in the winter, in the lineups, you see a lot of girls with winter jackets on.
Yeah.
But you cannot tell until they get the coat check and they take it off.
Yeah.
So.
How judgmental is that?
I know, right? But it's a great analogy.
It is. It's the perfect analogy, to be honest.
It's another lesson in don't judge a book by its cover or its winter jacket.
Or don't judge a girl in their winter jacket.
Yeah. So that's that. My second pick is another video game one. It is the Nintendo Switch was revealed on the last episode, but the day after they had their Fire Emblem Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
And they showed off a lot of neat things.
Fire Emblem is dead. Long live Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Who would have guessed Fire Emblem would have got so much support? I'm super happy.
I'm indifferent.
Because I think I've said it before, like my two favorite Nintendo series are F-Zero and Fire Emblem.
What a hipster.
F-Zero? No.
What a hipster.
Fire Emblem, yeah, but... Not F-Zero, come on. Nobody loves Captain Falcon.
What a hipster.
Would it be more hipster if I said Metroid?
No, that's pretty mainstream now.
Okay. What about Star Fox?
Depends which Star Fox you said.
Adventures.
Yeah, ultimate. Ultimate. Borderline furry.
Oh, God.
Borderline furry. You're into that yiffin. I can't know if I can get down with that.
But anyways, no, Fire Emblem's happening, and the first thing they showed off was...
The new Fire Emblem. The new / old Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Fire Emblem 2, aka Fire Emblem Gaiden, from the NES, has been completely remastered. Or actually, no, remade. Not remastered. Remade.
Yeah, it's remade.
They've used the engine that they used on Awakening, the one that they used on Fates, and they've applied it to Gaiden. And it looks good. It looks like another Fire Emblem game. What I will say is, Awakening and Fates, the most recent Fire Emblems, have done a lot to accommodate new players to the fan base. Yeah. I think Gaiden is going to be that rude awakening.
So do you really think that they're going to keep NES level difficulty?
I think that they're going to have the options like for the new people to come in.
Okay.
But if you're used to, if you like are the type of person who's like, no, I'm going to play on normal, like just regular normal. Yeah. I think you're going to be in for a bit of a wake-up call.
Do you think it's going to be like the Itagaki Ninja Gaidens, where when you get you go on easy mode, you get something that, like, degrades you? Like,
no,
you
get, like, no, I don't think they would do that. Okay. No, no. But, yeah. It's interesting that they just, like, of all the Fire Emblems, they decided to remake its Gaiden.
Yeah, this is, like, it's... Like, I also wonder how well, like, if they're changing anything from Gaiden. Like, so, a while ago, like, way back in the day on the PS2... They made remade Wild Arms 1.
Yeah.
It was Wild Arms Alter Code F.
Yeah.
And because of the change to 3D, they had to change a bunch of stuff, and it made the game worse than original Wild Arms. So I wonder if this change to 3D, or if they're just going to keep it like the same style of gameplay, 2D, top-down type of thing.
Yeah. You know, who knows? Interesting choice. I thought for sure they were going to go with Fire Emblem 6.
Which one was that?
6 was the last one to be Japan only, but okay. It's the one that has Roy.
Oh, okay.
You know,
the dude who's in Smash Bros. Exclusively. Yeah,
that everybody are like, Roy's the best. I love Roy since when?
Since Smash Bros.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because that was arguably one of the most popular Fire Emblems. Okay. All right. So I was surprised they chose Gaiden.
What was the one on the GameCube? Was that the one with Ike?
Yeah. Is it Path of Radiance? Or Radiant Dawn.
Radiant Dawn.
One was on the Wii, the other one was on the
GameCube. I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. Those ones I didn't play.
I'd like to play through the Ike ones, because Ike is my favorite Smash Bros. Character.
I still maintain my favorite one is Fire Emblem, or Fire Emblem 7, the one on the Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
Where you had three main heroes.
That's fair.
Yeah, that one was always fun. So they showed off that, then they showed off this announcement card that said, "A new Fire Emblem for the Switch."
It's a Musou game.
No. A new Fire Emblem for the Switch. That's literally it.
Oh, that was... Yeah, okay, that was the one where it's just like, hey, this is coming.
They said, it'll be the first Fire Emblem on a console since the one from the Wii.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah, nothing. It's like, here's some art, but also it's not final art, so nothing here. This is just an announcement.
Yeah.
Like, this is pretty much like, we made storyboards.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll make it.
Yeah, this is like when they announce. This is exactly when they announce a new console, and they're like, "Your favorite series is coming here. Don't worry,
bye-bye. In 2018.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like when they announce the PS4, and Gran Turismo will be here.
Where is it?
Yeah, it's like that.
So. Where it at though?
Oh, that's that. And then they announced the one that you just said, the Musou game.
The Musou game, yes.
Where they showed off Crom doing some sword swings.
Yeah, it's a Musou game.
Totally.
He pressed square a bunch, then pressed triangle, and then he pressed circle and he did a Musou move.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yep.
He was juggling like 50 opponents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds Musou like Musou. Never confront Lu Bu. Good advice tip for Musou games.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is. You're playing Legend of Zelda Heroes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Never confront Lu Bu.
In Musou games, do they have flying opponents?
I know in the weird ones, like Strike Force had flying opponents. And Sengoku Basara, I could be wrong, but I believe that one had some flying opponents.
Okay.
But they're more like flying in the sense of jump up and hit them.
Okay.
Rather than like they're way in the air, you gotta use a ranged attack.
Because I know like Fire Emblem, like a lot of it is like flying Pegasus,
well,
flying
it's dragons, scissors, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
That'll be interesting if they do the rock, paper, scissors thing.
I believe in the Dragon Quest Musou game. That was also, they had like flying enemies, like the one-eyed.
I heard that was good.
That one's actually really good. I played a bunch of that on a friend's copy. That's actually a really good Musou game that I would want to.
So let's cross our fingers. Fire Emblem is just as good.
Yeah. Right. I'm shitting on Musou games.
Yeah.
But like Musou games can be good. It's just very rare they put in the work.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
The last good Musou game I played was Sengoku Basara.
Okay.
Or owned, sorry, because I played the Dragon Quest one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then they went on and showed their big announcement.
Yo, Nintendo's on that mobile train, dog.
Yeah.
For 15 minutes.
So this whole direct is 20 minutes.
I want to say a good 75% of it was
this is mobile game. And like, I got nothing.
Dude, look at all the ways that they can microtransaction you to death.
Yeah. I mean, like, I started to get hyped when I saw, like, my favorite characters show up, like, Lin.
Did you participate in the fan
thing? No, I didn't, no. No, because it said, log in with your Nintendo ID, and I'm like, fuck this.
Fuck, I'm out. One step too hard.
Yeah. So I said, nah. I mean, it's a mobile game where you...
You take heroes, get more heroes.
And then you feed heroes to those heroes.
Okay, the only thing I got from this one is that one character, Long Q.
Yeah.
He looks like a bitch. Long Q looks like a bitch. Looks like a whiny bitch.
No.
Based on appearances, Long Q looks like
a whiny bitch. He's your typical, like, silent mercenary
badass. Oh, no wonder my friend loves him so much.
Yeah.
I was chatting with my one friend while the thing was going on. I'm like, man, this Long Q looks like a bitch. Yeah. And she's just like, you shut your goddamn mouth. He is God's gift to women.
he's like the strong, silent type, but then when you start to romance him, like, he's like reverse tsundere, where he's like...
Oh, is he just nervous?
Yeah.
Oh, he is like, he's just bad with women, that's why he's nervous? And then, okay.
So...
I understand now.
Like, he's a fan favorite.
Okay.
He has the... This is gonna stop. Dumb, but, like, he gives birth to the best kid.
What?
Yeah.
I guess he'd have to be a female to romance him, yeah?
No, like, when you just... You could pick whatever unit.
Oh.
But, like, but the feed... But he's the dominant gene.
Oh.
Like, the kid that comes out is always from him side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she's ultra tsundere, like...
Oh, it's not like I wanted to love you or anything.
Yeah, just, like, she's like that with him.
Oh my god.
Like that's her dad, and she's like, fuck you, dad.
And then he just doesn't know how to handle it because he's a woman?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right.
It's the best. But she's a monster. Like, her unit's a monster, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, that's a tangent.
Still sounds like a bitch.
Okay. Listen, I don't have a dog in this fight. yeah, but it's a mobile game.
Yeah, I voted in it.
And?
I voted for Tharja, even though I never played a Fire Emblem game.
That's fine.
I was like, she looks cool. I liked her character from Dancing All Night.
Sharp Effie.
Yeah, Sharp Effie.
She's a good character. She's fucking dark.
Yeah, she seems awesome. She seems like, oh, you're
Her romance subplot is like, it's just straight up dominatrix.
I'm down.
Yeah, I thought you would be.
I'm down.
Yeah. Most people like to bang her. That's who they pick.
Well, it's the whole thing of, like, you're a tough girl, but we want to make you submissive or something.
Okay. Audience members, Anthony just had this glazed look over his eye and as he stared into the distance.
I do that with a lot of conversations, though. You can't judge that.
No.
Was the glazed look the thing?
Oh, man. I saw, like, the glaze come over and, like, the zhing.
I was like, yeah.
So Fire Emblem mobile game. Yay. No, sorry. I'm not playing it. But,
I am literally more excited for a Fire Emblem Musou game than this mobile game. Because it seems like they just saw a bunch of other hero-based mobile games, and they're like, let's do that, but with Fire Emblem.
Honestly, I will admit, Fire Emblem is probably the best IP Nintendo has to adapt to Musou.
Okay.
Because last time they did was Zelda.
Yeah. Apparently, that was fun. Like, I have friends who swear by it, but... I never got hooked. I was like, oh, look, Link has the top from Twilight Princess.
I just feel like what Zelda else? Doesn't have enough characters to make a proper Musou.
Well, she can only transform into two, right?
Remember they had to make up Linkle?
Linkle? Oh, yeah, Linkle!
Yeah, they had to make up Linkle that game.
Yeah, and then everyone got all butthurt when Breath of the Wild came out. You couldn't play as Linkle.
Yep. So, but Fire Emblem has like a billion characters, so.
Yeah, they do.
There you go.
Like, I think, like, on the box, a billion characters.
Yeah. Anyways, those are my picks.
All right. My pick starts off with a little like PSA announcement. So if you own Final Fantasy 15,
I do.
Go out, download the Holiday Pack. If you have the Season Pass, go down your Holiday Plus Pack. And the Moogle Chocobo event has started within Final Fantasy 15.
Mm.
This is a special limited time event. When I started it, it said that it's only once a year. And it is, they turned the Water Capital into a festival. You can walk around the festival, gain Chocobo Moogle points by doing mini games and quizzes and a bunch of stuff, and you can cash those points in for exclusive items. There's also exclusive meals. There's one meal that you eat and it makes your fishing line more durable.
What?
Yeah, so guess how that works. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you could explain to me.
I'm like, no. It's just, you eat this meal, and it makes your fishing reel degrade 25% slower.
Like, to me, that sounds like you are extracting the fishing reel, from your body.
Like from like your Spider-Man. Veins. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a thing. They added a bunch. The great thing, I think, that I don't know if they've added it to the main game, but they should if they haven't, is that in that water village, in that water town,
yeah,
they added warp points everywhere. So instead of manually walking from place to place, it's like I'm on the top floor of a thing across the river and I'm looking down and I can just warp to the other side. And it's so convenient. I don't have to take the gondola anywhere. It's fantastic. So there's a bunch of different mini games. There's a brand new Chocobo racing track. So if you already completed all the Chocobo races in the main game, you can do another one.
Okay, thanks.
You can, I think the main goal here is to get enough Chocomog points to buy a voucher that lets you stay at the luxury suite in the hotel in the game. And it gives you a front row or a special seat for the fireworks show. Uh-oh. So whatever that does, sounds cool. The thing is, in this, you're only Noctis.
What?
Yeah, you're only Noctis. No Gladio, no Prompto, no Ignis. But there's a couple of good parts. Like, so when you eat one of the new recipes, Ignis isn't there to be like, I got a new recipe. I've discovered a new recipe.
Yeah.
But it's Noctis imitating Ignis.
Oh my
God. So it's really funny. The first time I heard it, I was like, what was that? That's hilarious. It's really perfect. Yeah, and all your stuff transfers over. I don't think there's any battles of any sort, because the only equipment you can have is a toy sword.
So, like, this whole event is, like...
It's separate.
Like, it's a whole separate thing.
It's a separate menu option.
Everything you do in there, you can transfer to
your... Yeah, so what'll happen is that in the menu, there will be a section that says special. You select special, and it'll tell you to select a save slot. That save slot will then be the one that receives the rewards from what you've gained in the bonus. Then when you go to back to your main game, you load that save slot and then you start from there. So like obviously you probably want to select your most recent save slot.
Yeah, and then you could just keep saving.
I also think it has to be a manual save slot. It cannot be an automatic save slot.
Oh, so it can't be the first two?
Yeah, it can't be the first two. It has to be a manual save slot. It
has to be spot 3, huh?
Yeah. Or 4 or 5, depending on how many you have.
3. Okay.
So yeah, that thing's actually pretty fun. It was fun to go back, do a little... It's a really just like, look, we're doing weird Final Fantasy stuff. We're just get away from this world-ending event that's happening in every Final Fantasy game. So it's pretty cool. My second pick is that we watch the second trailer for Logan.
Logan.
Coming out March 3rd.
March 3rd.
I'm really excited for this movie. They show more of X-23.
Yeah.
And she's just a psycho. And then
she's a weapon.
Yeah, and then they show Logan... And he's a psycho.
Former weapon.
And they fit together perfectly.
Ah, yes.
But they're too... Logan's too tsundere about it. He's like, someone else will come along. Someone will come along. Someone has come, Logan. Someone has come. And they show a lot more action scenes. Everything looks really cool. Like, even X-23 is wrecking people.
Yeah.
Right? She, like, cut off some dude's arm in the trailer.
And, yeah.
It's looking pretty visceral. Like, kind of like a lot of my favorite Wolverine comics.
You know this movie's rated R, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of can't wait. I think this is probably one of the most like anticipated movies for me.
Yeah.
Soon.
It looks really good. Like it's probably going to be really good.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Crossing my fingers Ryan Reynolds shows up.
Oh, Deadpool? That'd be pretty cool. I'd like that.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And then I guess just a quick one, Star Wars Episode 8 has a name.
Does it? What is it? What is it? What is it?
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So that's a cool title name.
Yeah, it is pretty
cool.
That's
a cool title name.
So, okay, I got a Star Wars question for you.
Yeah.
If you're a Sith, are you counted as a Jedi?
No.
You're not like a Dark Jedi, but they just call you the Sith?
So you start in the middle.
Okay.
And you go with the Force.
Yeah.
When you master the Force in one direction, you either become a Jedi or a Sith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's fair.
Okay. Kylo Ren is neither.
Oh, he's still thinking?
Yeah.
He's still like, where do I
go? He's not...
Homeboy killed his own father.
But he's not a Sith Lord.
I guess.
He's not a Sith
Lord. Is he a Sith Lord apprentice?
He's technically just an apprentice.
Okay, yeah. Learning playing Star Wars role-playing games, like tabletop games, I have learned many things about the Star Wars universe that I did not know before.
It's really, like, a lot of bullshit.
It's a lot of bullshit. Yeah. A lot of complicated bullshit.
Yeah.
And, like, if you go to the dark side, you can never be like, ah, I changed my mind.
No!
Right?
See? Like, there's no forgiveness in the Star Wars.
There's no forgiveness. Yeah. It's either you're all good or you're all bad. So, because, like, I want to build my character... Sorry, this is a tangent for Star Wars. I want to build my character as, like, I use, like, force powers to... corrupt people's thoughts.
Uh-huh.
And you can, if you're a good Jedi, you can make them think happy things and let you do stuff. Like, I want to make people hate themselves with my force power, right? But my DM was like, well, if you do that, you get corruption and you'll become a Sith. And then when you become a Sith, your teammates will want to kill you. And you can't act good again. I'm like, what? That's bullshit. Why can't I have force lightning but use it for good?
I hear you.
Like, I want to, like, again, I don't know. I want to play the friendly necromancer. It's that thing that doesn't exist, but I want it to happen.
Yeah.
I want to use my powers of raising the dead for the greater good.
I saw on, actually, I got to ask you, Last Jedi, right?
Okay.
Is that the best Star Wars movie name?
So there's Star Wars.
Okay, I'll name them all. There's The Phantom Menace. All
right.
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones, all right.
Revenge of the Sith.
All right.
A New Hope.
Okay.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
The Force Awakens.
All right.
The Last Jedi.
Isn't the first one just Star Wars?
A New Hope.
Oh, is it subtitled A New Hope?
The subtitle's A New Hope.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is it though? Okay, I guess so.
Yeah. They had to put a subtitle to it.
Yeah, because my friend let me borrow his VHS tapes because he wants me to record them.
Yeah, the first one just says Star Wars.
It just says Star Wars on the VHS tape.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Yeah.
The Last Jedi? Yeah.
I think that's only the coolest, though, because I know about Star Wars. If I had never watched a Star Wars movie, that would mean nothing to me.
That's true.
Yeah.
I would say The Last Jedi and Return of the Jedi kind of are even to me.
See, Return of the Jedi sounds campy. I don't know if I like it. A New Hope sounds cool.
Actually, you know what? I really like... The Force Awakens.
That one's good, too.
Yeah. I saw on Facebook, someone put the two movie titles together. So it said, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then I saw the memes that erupted from that, where it's like, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and then he awakens some more Jedi.
Oh, it turns out we have a crew.
Yeah, like, that was episode 9. Like,
that's funny.
Yeah. And then there were more Jedis.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Out for... My personal I would say that The Last Jedi is the coolest subtitle.
It is the coolest.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Great. I like it.
Yeah, but those are my picks.
Awesome. Let's move on to our weeks.
Do it.
I told you about Overwatch. I played Overwatch. Overwatch is great. I'm probably going to be doing that. I spent $50 today, and that was fun.
I'm sorry. Wait, what? Go back?
I played Overwatch.
And you spent...
Oh, what? Shut up. You were there. You spent
$50.
You saw me do it.
Listen, you shame me all the time for bad purchasing decisions. I'm taking my chances. Listen. Homeboy spot 50 loot boxes.
Well, it's just 50.
50 for $54.95. I heard that's the best value.
It's $53.95.
I heard that's best value. Is that true?
It is.
Was it the best value?
It is. It's,
you get the skins you wanted?
I did. I got D.Va and Mei. The red version of Mei.
Oh, you got the bad version of Mei then. Because the colored version of Mei is much better.
Listen, I'll end up with them all in 3 weeks' time, so it doesn't
matter.
I like
how you got 50 loot boxes, and you only got 2 of the Chinese skins.
Oh, no, I got 3. I got the Reinhardt.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. That's a little better.
It's not the best. I got that one, and I got the Ana one.
How come Zenyatta has such cool skins?
I don't know.
Like, every single one of his skins is, like, 100%
dope. I think Blizzard just has, like, this inner boner for Zenyatta. They're like, it's the robot Yogi.
Yeah, let's robot Yogi, look.
Fucking make him the best.
Look, he's a robot, but he's spiritual.
Yeah,
how weird
he's
is
like
that?
The contradiction. He's the future.
Welcome to the future.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, so I did that. Then I watched on Netflix. Voltron, the Legendary Defender season 2 is out.
Oh, season 2 is out. Okay.
Came out on Friday. I only watched the first 5 episodes.
Did you? I forget. Were you the one that said it was like it was disappointing as the show went on? Or is that someone else?
No, that was me.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought the show was like, and when I say disappointing, I mean like the show went from great to good.
Yeah, it went from great to like, oh, okay.
I think my biggest problem with season 1 was the show was kind of aimless for a bit. And then like when it got going, it just stopped.
Okay.
That and the parts with the giant robot were the most boring parts of the show. And that kind of really disappointed me.
That's fair.
Considering it was Voltron.
Yeah.
Season 2, from what I've seen, is better all around.
Yeah.
But it still has a problem of, hey, let's form Voltron, and now the show's boring.
I'll be the head.
Yeah.
So and, is there, like, so what happens, like, so I never finished the first season. What happens during, like, that when they're in Voltron,
yeah,
that makes it boring? Is it, like, that, is it become the Superman thing of, like, they're just all powerful and
there's no, that's
no
not
one
it.
Can touch them?
That's not it. It's, you know how when they're, you know when you're watching, like, Avatar: Last Airbender or Korra, like the choreography of the fighting when they're just
It's out of control. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And in Voltron, I would say it's almost as good.
Okay,
when they're hand to hand, when they go to the robot, they're CG and it's just really bland. Like you don't get any of the impactful force.
Okay,
or the effects just don't seem as well thought out.
I'm gonna talk about some of that CG stuff in my week as well.
Yeah, like the like. I don't have a problem with the art style, but it really takes away from the impact of the animation.
I just really wish that stuff would go back to more hand-drawn animation.
It's expensive.
It is. And it's, but like, I don't know. Like, it's the thing of like, do you, it's when we watched that Jackie Chan biopic for every thing. Yeah. Like, do you want the audience to see a timeless classic or do you want to see them something that's just good enough?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And in my mind, it'd be like, listen, we want to make this great.
Well, look, I don't think they set out with the intention of being like, oh, we're going to only half-ass it. I believe the team is working as hard as they can.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't mean to bash the team and their work ethic.
I'm just saying that, you know, I guess they're... Here's the thing. The robot fights are kind of weak.
Okay.
But in Voltron, the robot fights are a rarity.
Oh, okay. I thought they were happening like every episode.
No, they don't.
Oh, okay.
Which is what I really like. But the thing is, because they're a rarity, I expect them to be amazing when they happen. And that's they fair. Just aren't.
That's fair.
But again, I'm only 5, maybe 6 episodes in. We'll see how it ends up. There's a couple like really like cliche bad guy plots that run around that are pretty dumb.
Okay.
Kind of like, oh, we want to steal Voltron because he's the best robot in the world. But I'm the bad guy. I actually secretly have a better robot that I'm going to crush you with.
And then it's not better because they have the power of friendship.
Something like that. All right. So, I mean, yeah.
The truest magic of all. Friendship and love.
Friendship is magic.
Friendship is magic.
There you go. Uchukita.
Is that it?
No.
Do you have anything
else? I got 2 more things.
Okay.
I watched the Ip Man 3 movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Good movie. I still believe, like, after Ip Man 1, you didn't need 2 and 3.
Nope, you did not, 100%.
I still thoroughly enjoyed 3.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, I will say 3 felt like the most tired of the series. Like, they were kind of just like, it's time to end.
The audience can't hear me, but I'm nodding my head up and down.
In like, it's kind of like, as cool as Ip Man 4 would be, no.
Please, like, yeah, he's going to be fighting, like, cyber demons at the end of Ip Man 4.
Like, that series is over.
Yeah.
I really like the subtle hints at Bruce Lee.
Yep.
That was really fun.
Yeah, his master. Which makes me really want to watch that Bruce Lee movie coming out.
Yeah.
I forget what it's something called. The Dragon. It's Something the Dragon.
Yeah. Not Enter the Dragon.
That's a good movie though. We should watch Enter the Dragon. That's a great movie.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. Like there's a scene where Ip Man meets young Bruce Lee and he throws smokes at him.
Oh
and
yeah.
Bruce Lee kicks them as a nod to that famous thing that Bruce Lee does.
Yeah.
And then he throws water at him and Bruce Lee kicks it. And he's just like, did you kick the water?
So yeah. Or the one thing when he opened the door.
Yeah.
And then he didn't say anything. Yeah. He's like, just because I opened the door doesn't mean I denied you as my student.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like you walked out, buddy.
You walked out. You're the one that walked out. It was your choice.
Yeah. But the reason I watched the movie is to watch Diane fight Mike Tyson.
So I think I talked about it on the podcast when I first watched this. I truly believe Mike Tyson is a scary mofo.
Totally.
Like, watching that first person scene when Mike Tyson channels Ippo and Dempsey rolls up to Ip Man, like watching that on a screen was scary.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to feel that in person.
Yeah. It was really well done because like throughout these movies you get this sense that like Donnie Yen is unstoppable,
right?
And then he fights Tyson and Tyson's like, No, I'm unstoppable.
Yeah. I'm unstoppable in a different way.
Yeah.
Right? Where, like, It Man is all technique.
Yeah.
He's just like, technique, whatever. Boom! Here's a roundhouse. Like, here's just a haymaker to the ribs.
Yeah. Like, and It Man's bleeding, and you're like, you see the shots to his gut, and you're like, oh, man, our hero can lose.
Yeah, there's the one thing that this show has cemented, or that movie has cemented for me,
yeah.
is that brutal body blows yeah. will always make me cringe more than a brutal shot to the face.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
hearing just like a hook to the ribs
yeah.
and just hearing like a crunch yeah. is always just like, oh, that seems so bad, rather yeah. than like, oh, guy got punched to the face and got knocked out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, it's an entertaining ride. The Grandmaster fight at the end was worth it too.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Was it It Man 2 where they fought on the table?
That's a good yeah, fight.
That's a good fight. They fought on the table legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great fight. Yeah, that was
fight. A great fight. I don't know how they choreographed that, but that was really
wires.
Cool.
They choreographed it with wires.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say still my favorite It Man fight still is from the first one when he has to fight the 10 black belts.
Yep. Oh, that fight is so good. That is, yeah. I think that's one of the best fights in, like, action movies,
yeah.
period.
Yeah. I think I like, because you really get the sense that, like, his life is on the line.
And he's, and also it's just pure anger.
Yeah.
Right? He looks at the rice they give him, and he just walks away.
Yeah.
Or he's just like, I beat you, Nihonji.
Yeah.
Get wrecked.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was good. So that was it, man. But the big movie I watched this week, and I wish I watched it earlier. Because it would have changed something on our year of the rewards.
Okay.
It was La La Land.
You watched La La Land?
I watched La La Land.
How good is it?
So I don't like musicals.
All right.
And the first 20 minutes of this movie, I kind of hated.
Okay.
But then it gets into the plot proper, and it's just like, fuck, this movie's good.
All right. I really want to see this movie.
So the thing about this movie is it's a romance, right?
Okay.
Like, it's a love story.
Yeah. It's like two people trying to make it in the industry, right?
Yeah, in LA, in Hollywood,
yeah.
you know, and they have a budding relationship. And I think the thing that this movie does great, aside from all the spectacle of the musical aspect of it,
yeah.
is they show like every, if you've ever been in a serious relationship, they show all the major stages of a relationship. And I won't, almost to the point where it's super relatable.
So, like, wait, like, honeymoon phase?
Yeah, but
drifting
they...
out, relaxation, like, getting
yes, stale? Yes, but they, okay. they pin it, like, to seasons. Like, these people,
oh.
like, they meet in the winter, but they don't start dating till the spring. And so then the whole spring is, like, their honeymoon phase, and they okay. do all this, and then they go summer, and they show you what the relationship is like there, and then fall, and then winter.
Oh.
Like they go through like the stages of it, and it's a really smart idea. Like they pinned it to seasons so that you can identify the stages of a relationship with seasons,
okay.
and they sort of mimic like, you know, when spring is blossoming and blooming, something everything's new and fresh and exciting.
Oh, okay,
right, and then right. fall comes, things are dying, and but yeah, it's a musical, so they can't really tell the most complex relationship story.
Okay,
so they're. The story itself is actually really simple. It's just how they've been delivered, and the writing's really good. And yeah, it's a... Oh man, I really wanted to cry in the theater.
Oh my god, wow.
The last 15 minutes, there is a sequence. Like, they hit you with a surprise.
Okay.
And you're just like, oh! And then they put together this sequence that recaps the movie or something.
Okay.
And, like, out of context, it doesn't sound like anything, but, like, when you watch, you'll be like, whoa.
Wait, is it a thing of, like, you didn't notice something in the movie, but when they recap it, you now notice it?
It's not like that.
Okay.
It's, no, I can't say it.
If you can't, yeah, yeah. don't say it. The movie's still very new.
Like, yeah, like, I'll just say, like, yeah. They hit you with a surprise one, and then they bring in the sequence to show you, like, another side to it.
Okay.
And then you're like, oh, fuck, no.
Okay, I want to see this movie.
And then by the end, you're just like...
please help
yeah.
me.
Yeah, it's
that sounds good.
Yeah, music. The thing about musicals is like the set. To, like, I think more about the production and the way they had to film things to get the musicals right.
Okay,
and that always finds distracting. Like, there's a scene early on where Emma Stone she's living with her friends in like this big house.
Okay,
but they go through like a. The girls are getting ready to go out to party.
Okay.
Okay, but their song that they're doing is them getting ready and trying to get her to come out. And so they're doing all this song and dance through the house. But the way they film it, it kind of just makes it seem like there's doors to every room and every room is interconnected.
Oh. Okay.
And then in my head, all I'm thinking about is this house makes no fucking sense.
Like everywhere has a connected bathroom.
Yeah, so the camera can pan in and out and they can pop in and out. And it's just like, this makes no sense to me.
All right. They're using cartoon logic.
Right. And that's how a lot of the musical sequence are.
Okay.
And I found, to me personally, I find that distracting. But I think if you're just looking for spectacle, it's fine.
Yeah, usually for me in a musical, it's just pure
spectacle. Like, I know you're not supposed to question that kind of stuff, because there's other things they do that are just like, whoa.
I want to see how you like The Producers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, that's a musical too. And, like, also normally I don't like musicals, but I'd really like The Producers. But also, that's kind of my type of humor.
So. Okay. Yeah. I also saw that Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling are nominated for their Academy Awards.
Yep.
Best Actor.
That movie got a lot of noms.
It actually tied for the most nominations ever.
Did it?
It has 14. The other one is Titanic. The other one is, I can't remember. But
I wonder if the judges were like, they were at 15 and they're like, we can't do that. And they took one away.
I bet that's what it was.
They like metagame the awards.
Because they were thinking about it like, guys, are we really going to say La La Land is going to be the like best Oscar nominated movie?
Better than Titanic?
Yeah. They're like,
can you meet like one of your French girls?
We'll be laughing stock in Hollywood. So, yeah, no, I totally recommend it. I understand why they're nominated. Ryan Gosling is such a charmer. Emma Stone is...
Apparently those two are on, like, they're on the fast track to becoming the new, like, big AAA stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Emma Stone plays this really good combination of, like a down-to-earth real girl with aspirations of being big, but at the same time, like, a classy, just a really good actress.
Okay.
Which is hilarious, because every time I think of Emma Stone, I think of... My favorite comedy is Superbad.
I think of her there.
Yep. I think of the scene where Seth is doing the...
Yeah.
And they're in the cooking class.
Yep,
I think of her there, and she's talking about how her brother calls her hymen or something. I'm like, I cannot believe this is where you started.
Yeah, where you got your break.
Yeah, like...
Calling yourself hymen.
So whenever I think of Emma Stone, that's what I think of. I don't see this, like... grown-up woman anymore.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair. Also, to be fair, like, she doesn't age.
Yeah, she doesn't age.
Like, she still kind of looks like a teenager.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right, that's my week.
All right, my week started off by deleting League of Legends off my computer again.
You had to?
I had to.
Oh.
I was, it was doing, like, I'm not even in school now, but it's still, it was playing so much League of Legends, I wasn't doing anything else. Like, I would wake up, look for jobs, go to work, come back, play League of Legends, go to sleep. It's bad news.
That's not bad. At least you're doing work and jobs.
Yeah, but like, I look at the pile of video games I buy.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is.
And I'm like, I haven't played any of you. I look at the amount of shows I still have to finish from last year. And I'm like, I haven't watched any of you. And yeah, until I get to a point where... I either want to A, save money, or B, save money. I'm just gonna, I can't keep League of Legends on my computer. I have to make things hard for me to bring it back. Like, when I was in school, I deleted Steam, League of Legends, everything off my laptop that could be a time waster. Because, like, in my head, it wasn't worth the effort of being like, oh, I'll re-download Steam, and I'll re-download these games. Take my games up, saved off the cloud.
Yeah.
Right? And I just made it as hard for me as possible to get back into something so I can force myself to do something else. So I did a lot of stuff this week because I did something other than League of Legends. First off, I did a bunch of video game stuff. So I started and beat Firewatch.
Is it good?
Firewatch is now on my top 10 list. I had to rewrite part of my top 10 list and re-edit video. For my top 10 list to put this game on.
It's good.
This game is fantastic. Like top 5 games of last year. If you really want to take it down to its bare bones, it's one of those like quote unquote walking simulators.
Yeah.
Right? It's somewhat adventure-y, but mainly it's you're immersed in this world, experience the story. That you're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say anything. Like, so the, like, I'll say the basis of it, but like, other than that, I'm not going to talk. You're a park ranger in the late 80s.
Oh, that's a time period?
Yeah, late 1980s.
Oh.
And you have trouble at home. I'm not going to say what the exact trouble is.
Sure.
You're having trouble at home, and to escape from it, you see a job in the paper to work for the... Oh, what's the... Remember that song we hate where they talk about stealing a mattress?
Oh, yay. Closer, by the Chainsmokers?
Where do they steal the mattress from?
Boulder, Colorado.
You're in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
And you're at the national park, and you're not a fire ranger. You're pretty much, you're watching for fires. That's like, the title is very literal. You are in a watchtower. Each tower is miles away from each other. Like, the only tower you can see is the person you're talking with, is Delilah. She's the only person within radio distance for you to talk to. And so you and Delilah talk while you're over the summer months, develop this relationship there. And then there's like a side story of just like, there's a side mystery in that you're trying to solve together. But also you're trying to solve it in a way where each other, like, you both sound crazy to each other. Because you're not experiencing what the other person is experiencing.
Oh,
because
they're on there doing their own thing.
Because they're only on radio.
Yeah.
Right? They're only over voice. And it's this whole thing of, I'm sure the options you pick don't really affect the ending, because the ending is very concrete.
Like, and, yeah, okay.
Right? It's very set in stone. They had a story. They maybe had like a couple different through paths.
So it's the Mass Effect thing. Like, there's point A, point B, but you can choose your way to get there.
You can choose your way to get there, right? Okay. And I'm sure they're not big, but it feels like it in the moment, right? The fact that I chose one way doesn't feel like an empty choice, even though we still get to the same destination.
Yeah.
Because it's fleshed out enough to where, and it's, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not realized. I guess it's written well enough to where I believe it.
Okay.
Where I believe they thought this through as an actual story point, rather than like, oh, they kind of half-assed it because they have to do three other ones.
Yeah.
Right? It's very short. It's about, I want to say, 5 hours.
Really?
Yeah, it's very short.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
It's a great, like, as soon as I popped it in, I did not take it out until I finished it.
Really?
I couldn't put it down. The story was so intriguing. The world I was in was great. I wanted to know more about Delilah. I wanted to know more about this mystery that was happening.
Yeah.
And the loops it throws you through, I really enjoyed it. This was a game where at the end I cried.
Wow. We both were crying this week.
Yeah, I know, right? Man, a bunch of
what's wrong with us?
A bunch of pussies in this podcast. but like, yeah, it wasn't like a sob. Like, I was just like, oh shit, like, it happened.
It was emotional.
It was emotional. It was very emotional. I highly recommend. This is a game where I think both casual players and hardcore players alike can do their thing. Like, I would recommend this game for my parents to play.
So I gotta ask, what are the mechanics? Like, is it a kind of game? Like, I know it's first person.
So it's first person. You have walk, you have a sprint. You have a little wind-up disposable camera you can take pictures with.
Yeah.
But mainly it's point A to point B, but it's navigating through the trails. Sometimes the trails aren't really marked correctly, or it's very obscure how to get there. So you have to go to little station boxes to find previous rangers' maps and draw it on your map so you can find trails. But a lot of it is actually like compass map navigation.
Yeah.
So it's like they have like a little you are here point. And then use your compass to be like, okay, I'm facing north, but I need to go to this west-east, like this kind of northeast place past this river. Mm. So you look at your map and you're like, okay, if I'm here, I have to loop around this river and then do a bunch of stuff. So it's a lot of it is just like kind of navigation before.
It's just walking, right?
Yeah, it's walking. Navigation before GPS was a thing. There's no collectibles that I found. Oh,
nice.
There's a lot of exploration.
Nice.
So you can like, you get these ropes and you can tie them to like rock sides and cliff sides and you can go up and down cliffs. And there's a lot of optional dialogue chances. So you can like walk up to a big, like, there's like a big tree and it's like looks spooky, and you have like a little cute dialogue sequence with Delilah with that. Yeah, it's pretty much just walking. There's nothing really action-y about it. You're not killing any enemies. You're not, like, the most you're doing is maybe chopping down a tree to make a shortcut. Like, that's the most violent. I wouldn't say that's the most violent thing that happens, but there's, like, that's pretty much, like, the most action-oriented thing you're doing.
Does the game have, let's say, like, well-placed breakpoints?
Yeah, so, every single time you finish a chapter, that's either...
Oh, there's chapters.
It's either a day or a segment of time in the summer that you're employed.
Okay.
First, it'll be like day one, day two, day three.
Yeah.
And after day three, it's like day 14.
Okay.
Day 47, day 60-something, right? Okay. And they do bigger and bigger time skips. And it's, yeah, it's over the course of a whole summer.
Okay.
And, yeah, I don't know. I can't recommend this game enough to people. It's 100% worth the $20 or whatever it's up on PSN for. I ended up paying a little bit extra because I got the physical. The limited physical copy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's fantastic. I couldn't get enough.
Awesome.
And then today I bought Yakuza 0.
You sure did.
Yakuza 0 is fantastic. I just got to the point in the game where... I did in the Japanese copy I bought when we were in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So about like two, three hours in.
This is the one that takes place in the 80s, right?
In the 80s, yeah. Economic boom Japan. Yeah,
this one does sound like the most interesting one.
It's a prequel to all the other games, so you don't have to have played the other games to understand anything. There are little things that you would be like, if you have played the other games, you'll be like, oh man, this person. But it doesn't matter because it's a prequel, right? Yeah. And so, but now I actually know the story because it's in English. So, Kazuma Kiryu, he's straight out of an orphanage. He's up and coming with his orphan bro Nishiki. And you became Yakuza to follow your adoptive father. Because he is a Yakuza lieutenant. He's one of the upper dogs. And so what happens is that you get framed on a regular collection run.
Yep.
A loan shark hires you out to go kind of rough up a dude to get some payment. And what happens is that the guy ends up dead. And you're from a gunshot to the head. But you're like, I don't own a gun. I just kicked the shit out of him, right, with my fist. Like, I don't, like, someone framed me. And so a lot of the story is proving your innocence while also proving your adoptive father's innocence because he's in jail right now. And the other Yakuza will take any chance they can get to kick him off the throne and take his place. But also at the same time, there's a big land deal happening because it turns out where he died was an empty, undeveloped lot of Kamurocho, which is the city you're in. And the Yakuza want that spot for clubs and nightlife and all that stuff. Right. But now that a murder happened on that grounds, it's thrown their whole plan through a loop.
Yeah.
Then you learn of a third company because the Yakuza has betrayed you pretty much. It's like you the only way you could atone for your quote-unquote sin is for leaving the Yakuza.
Hmm.
So you leave the Yakuza, but you still want to clear your name. They tell you to leave it alone. But this third party comes in and is like, hey, I will help you clear your name. I will help you get your adoptive father's spot secure. But you have to give that piece of land to me.
Oh.
So you're kind of caught in a loop between, or like in a bind between this person who promises to clear your name and also your adoptive father's name, but you also have to somewhat betray the Yakuza at the same time.
Mm.
And you want to become part of the Yakuza again because you're a young, up-and-coming kid on the streets. It's a lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be. The Yakuza games usually boil down to there is a big bad, and this big bad is... trying to wreck your shit or like trying to bring you back into the game right because you're retired but this one is a lot of party intrigue and just like which side are you gonna trust, which organization is the one that really has your back, can your friends be trusted because your friend is still a part of the Yakuza, like will your friend help you out like that. It's really interesting and I'm really enjoying it. The combat system is super modernized.
I'd imagine it to be.
So instead of like just your basic square triangle God of War style. You have that, but in a more variety. You have different styles. So you have the brawler style, which is just basic, just like big swings, pretty much clubs, just hit people as hard as you can and use weapons like a street fight. And then the other one is I forget what it's called, but it's a fast style. It's more kind of bob and weave, jab them with a bunch of light hits, get out before you get hit, duck under hits and stuff. It's a lot more technical, a lot more like boxing in a way, like really fast paced boxing.
Yeah.
There's other styles, which one is called, I think it's beast mode, where it's just, you become like untouchable. You have super armor. And like, if you swing near a weapon, you'll just grab the weapon and hit them with it. You become more like a wild animal than any sort of fighting style. And I forget what the other one is. But there's also two playable characters, so there'll be another playable character as I go down the road. And they play drastically differently. Also because it's set in the 80s, the big thing here is money.
So of course.
Japan's economy is booming, baby. First thing I see in Kamurocho, vending machine that costs 1,000,000 yen.
Wow.
So you get insane amounts of money, like comical amounts of money. When you knock out a thug on the street that tries to fight you, he blows up into money. Like money flies out of him, right? You're getting hundreds of thousands of yen per fight.
Wow.
Right? And the better you do, you'll get more multipliers on that. Oh. So you could like, I get like 1,000,000 yen. But everything also subsequently costs more.
Mm.
Right? So like if you want to, the thing I thought was hilarious is that when you level up your skills, you're literally investing in yourself.
Oh, because your money is
your money.
Yeah.
You have to use your money to invest in your skills.
That's cute.
Right? It's really funny. And then like, but your skills cost like 20 million yen.
Huh.
Right? And it's like, oh shit. But you'll have different skill trees and they all start at the same spot. But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. It still has all of the weird Yakuza quirks of like karaoke, go play mahjong, batting cages and stuff. They added some other stuff. Like there are really like tall dudes, like 7-foot dudes who will like, they're called the shakedowners.
Okay.
And they will come and like try and steal all your money because they're much bigger than you and lasers and stuff like that. So like you can get revenge on them or you can just run away.
Mm.
There's all kinds of different stuff you can do. It's I don't know. I feel that series is great. And I think this is a great time. If you've ever been like too daunted by the game, like, or by the series, you're like, there's like 5 games, what am I gonna do? Like this is the perfect time to get into it, because Yakuza 0 A is a prequel, so you don't need to know any of the other games. It plays really great. And then also I believe early next year is Yakuza Kiwami,
which is a remake
of the first game using the Yakuza 0 engine and fighting style and stuff like that. So I think this is a perfect time, if you've ever been interested in the Yakuza series, to get into it. And I highly recommend it. It's been one of my favorite series since the PlayStation 2.
Hmm.
Except for Yakuza Dead Souls. That game's bad. Don't play Yakuza Dead Souls. That game's not too good. And then the other things I did was anime.
All right.
I got a bunch of anime going on.
That's good.
I watched Boy and His Beast. Or The Boy and the Beast. Or,
oh, the movie.
Yeah, the movie. The animated movie. That movie's good.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that movie. Both animes I'll talk about use CG in a way that's kind of distracting, where I wish they didn't. So for Boy and His Beast, there's a lot of big action scenes where they'll replace big set pieces. Instead of like this, the whole movie, they have really beautifully hand-drawn and like hand-drawn fights. And everything's super fluid. They're like, I'm like, man, they must have like 1 billion frames in this one punch or something.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic. But when you look at the background, a lot of background models are 3D.
Okay.
Right? CG stuff. And it's kind of distracting to see the difference between like these really beautifully animated hand-to-hand combat fights and this dude kind of just swaying back and forth looking 3D in the background. So that was a little distracting. But the story is pretty much our main character, mother dies at a very young age.
Raised by an animal?
Father runs away.
Oh.
They told the family of the mother, said, don't worry about your father. He's a bum. We're going to bring you in with the head of our family. But he's like, I don't want that. I want to live with my dad, right? And all this stuff. So he doesn't want to do this. So he runs away. On his night of being alone, he runs into a supernatural creature. He doesn't know what it is. And the creature's like, "Hey man, if you seem like you got some fight in you, follow me." And then the kid's like, "What the hell am I like? I'm not gonna do that. You're just a bear in a
Yeah.
cloak, right?" But it comes to a situation where either he's gonna be dragged to his family by the police,
Yeah.
or he can go hang out with the bear. He goes to hang out with the bear, and it takes him into this mystical worlds of gods
Yeah.
where everyone who lives there is some sort of spirit. And a big goal for that is to become really strong and become a god of some sort, to become like a major god, like a Buddha or something,
Yeah.
or to become like an artifact god, like a god within a sword. So, you know, like there's cursed swords and stuff, like there's a god living in that sword kind of thing. And so he lives with the beast, and it's the thing of like the kid doesn't know what to do because he's a kid. He's very aimless and whatever. And the beast has a goal in mind, but he's not serious enough to set down the path. So they play off each other and they give each other what they're missing, right? It's a very coming of age story and very literal because there's a time skip within 5 minutes. The kid goes from being 8 to being 17.
Whoa.
Yeah. Right. And there's like a love story and him dealing with the fact that doesn't even know how to read
Oh.
because he's been studying spirit kung fu for
Yeah.
9 years. And it's a great watch. It sounds very cookie cutter when I talk about it.
Yeah.
But I think what they do with that cookie cutter setting is very unique. I really enjoyed it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still want to get around to it.
And then the other thing I watch is that I marathoned with some friends Konosuba.
Oh,
So Konosuba is cool.
yeah.
I didn't realize that this is pretty much dude makes the shittiest D&D party imaginable,
Yeah.
right? The thing I think I don't like the most is that the fan service is to the point of distracting. They're like the Succubus episode.
What was the
The
succubus?
second last episode where he goes to the succubus place and he's like, "Oh, you sign this contract and we will send a succubus to your house,
Oh,
to your mansion or
yeah.
whatever," right? I think that like stuff like that is it doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
Like I know why it's there, but it actually adds nothing to the story. Like I don't need to see the gods under butt
Yeah.
every five shots, right? But I do like the premise of the story of kid dies in a very embarrassing way.
Yeah.
He's pissed off at the god. He tricks her, and then they make a really shitty D&D party.
I love I think it's in the first episode or second, they have like a montage of them working,
Yeah,
like the construction, and they sleep in
construction. Sleep in the
the
barn. Eat some food. And they're like, "We've been here for like weeks. They're not even level two yet." That one was really good. They have a lot of. Yeah, again, there's a lot of good gags in this
Yeah.
show, but I think it's just the fan service gets in the way.
Yeah.
I
I
think
agree, yeah.
there's a lot of potential for better gags if there wasn't as much fan service in it.
Yeah, it's weird. And the thing is, like, even the fan service in Konosuba, I wouldn't even say is that big compared to like what else is out
Yeah,
there.
even what else is out there,
Yeah.
I just don't think I'm at the point in
Yeah.
where I want that in my anime. Like
Yeah, like
unless you're going
yeah.
full weird ridiculous like Keijo
Yeah.
or Kill la Kill,
Yeah.
like that's a different category. That's like they know they're being ridiculous.
Yeah, of course. Like I think I've watched so much anime now that like it takes something like Keijo for me to notice it now.
Okay.
Like in Konosuba, it's like I see it, but I kind of it just glazes over. Like it doesn't bug me as much anymore.
Yeah. For me, a lot of the anime I watch is more I want to say quote unquote serious.
Yeah.
Like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is not very serious, but also there's like little
Yeah, but
to
it's not about like fan
yeah, there's
service.
little to no fan
Yeah,
service,
yeah.
right? Or like a lot of sports anime I'm watching, like All
Totally.
Out. Well, maybe there's fan service for the ladies,
You watch
but
Yuri on Ice yet?
no, I have not.
Some BL fan
That's some BL
service.
fan service? All
Yeah.
right. But I over overall I enjoyed Konosuba.
Yeah.
It was a really fun watch. I didn't realize it was only 10 episodes,
I know, right?
right? It was weird to see flashbacks in episodes to things that didn't happen.
because of the time skips?
Yeah, for things that I didn't see.
Yeah.
Right? And especially the change from like episode 9 to 10 where they're like, oh, hey, we're poor. Oh, look, we're in a mansion. Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
I think my favorite character is Darkness.
Yeah, a lot of people like Darkness.
Darkness is hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll protect you.
I'll protect you.
My body.
You're just going to take me in like the headless horseman.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you fucking freak. Like, get away from me. Like,
no, stop.
I'm not doing that. Don't make people think that way.
Yeah.
Right. And I also do like the Black Mage.
She's my favorite.
She's really fun.
I like that one episode where there's just this castle and she just keeps casting
explosion on it. And then the headless horseman comes like, who's been casting explosion on my castle? And then the headless horseman comes back like 3 episodes later and it turns out she's just been going to do it for fun. Again, there's so many good gags in that show.
Yeah.
I just wish the fan service either wasn't there or it wasn't as egregious.
Yeah, and I will say, going into season 2, I think they pushed the fan service up a bit more.
That's unfortunate.
In terms of like, well, there's just a lot more like boob jiggle.
Okay.
A lot more like
sexual. There's a lot of boob jiggle.
Like, there's a lot more like sexualized angles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, again, okay, that Succubus episode, that was almost pornography.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, guys, I don't think I can watch this with you. I think we need to, like, our own separate turns watching this episode. but the thing, the CG that bothered me in this show was the explosion magic. Was the recycled CG dark magic spiral. Don't get me wrong, it looked cool.
You just wish there was...
But it looks so out of place.
Yeah.
And their CG wasn't that good.
I don't think that show even has much CG.
No, it's just
that explosion.
It's that explosion, and it's the final boss.
Oh, the machine thing?
Spider tank from Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Right? That spider tank and that explosion, they look so out of place. Where I'm like, why couldn't you, like... Even when they have the big sacred water attack on the Headless Horseman... That thing's all hand animated. That looks super nice. Like, why couldn't they do that with explosion magic?
I have a feeling like with this explosion, they wanted to convey a certain art style. Like, they wanted to make it look like magic, like something that wasn't of this world. And I guess CG was the best.
That would be fair. Yeah, that would be fair.
But I think it looks cool the first time you see it. But yeah, it is.
Especially when it's recycled footage.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite explosions are the one when just like layers upon layers of spell circles appear.
Yeah.
And then it's just like the spell circles contain the explosion into a pillar.
Yeah.
Those ones look really cool. Yeah. I like that. I think my favorite character in that episode in that series is the Lich.
Lich is?
The one of the dark ones. She owns the store.
Oh, yeah. She's like
She's like, yeah, I don't really agree with his stuff, but I have dark powers.
The reformed demon.
Yeah, the reformed demon. I think she's...
She's hilarious.
Yeah, she's great. I like her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Oh, man, there's a lot of good... when you meet the actual hero who picked, like, the sword and stuff...
And steals it.
Yeah. Or when he gets his stealing and he starts threatening chicks...
He just starts stealing panties? Yeah. He's kind of a dirtbag.
Yeah, he's a total dirtbag.
Again, I like that show. I think the show has a lot going for it. Mm. It's just the fan service is really bumming me out.
Yeah.
But, man... Yeah, there are some gags in there where I just laughed out loud. Like, it was like a hearty laugh, like from deep in the gut, like sink into your chair laughter.
Yeah.
Some good stuff in there. I really like it.
Yeah.
When he gets wrecked by the snow.
Oh, yes.
The snow shogun.
Yeah.
That was good stuff, too.
Yeah. There's, Season 2 is good. It also has,
Are they starting back at ground zero, or they still have their mansion?
So it picks up right off, right where season.
Oh, wow. Ends. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And you go through the repercussions of that big fight.
Oh yeah, when the person's like, "Oh yeah, you're going against the government or something," or like,
yeah,
and they were coming to arrest you, and they're like, "What?"
Yeah, that's where it starts off.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
But the show introduces another character. What the heck is the Black Mage's name? I forget.
Oh, it's something with an M.
Yeah, because I know there's Aqua, Darkness. I even forget
the main character. Yeah. And then Explosion Girl.
Yeah. But anyways, Explosion Girl's rival shows up. And she's like...
Does she have an eye patch on the other eye?
No, but she's like the cutest girl around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But she's a monster when it comes to magic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I really like it when they call her crazy girl.
Oh, she gets pissed. Yeah.
And I also really liked the in the final episode when they're all talking about how we must band together to protect the town. But then all the guys have a flashback to the succubi. And they're like, we must protect this town. Like, I think that's where the fan service really made it funny.
Yeah.
Like, that flashback was a really good gag.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a great show.
Good.
I really enjoyed that show. It's funny.
That was 2chan's second favorite anime of 2016.
I can't trust anything that ends in Chan. I can't trust it.
There you go.
What was number one?
Sound Euphonium.
Sound Euphonium. I watched season one of Sound Euphonium is actually really good.
Yeah, I heard I should watch it. Yes. But yeah, season two of Sound Euphonium took number one.
Okay,
that's surprising. Number 10 for them was Yuri on Ice.
Okay.
9 was Mob Psycho. All
right.
I can't remember what 7 was.
Was JoJo in there?
I think JoJo was 7.
Oh, okay.
Is JoJo was either 7 or 4.
Okay, what a skip.
Yeah, I just know that 6 was Keijo.
Okay.
Which was hilarious to see.
Listen, I can't watch that show around people, but that show is hilarious. I'm getting to the point in that show where I'm seeing the, like, here's, you just took a super robot attack.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just put it to a butt.
Yeah, you put it on a female body and said go.
Titty hypnosis.
Oh!
So dumb.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, you guys cornered me. Look, you all fell asleep. So stupid.
Oh, it's so good. Awesome. Anything else you did this week?
No.
No, you're good.
No, I can't think of anything unless you know of something I did that I don't remember.
I don't know.
No.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was no Kamen Rider this week.
Yeah.
At least none that we could get.
In time we can find, yeah.
So we'll probably do 2 episodes next week for that. But that's okay. We still gave you guys an hour of content, which is definitely what we aim to do every week for the rest of your life.
Gotta get back to those 4-hour episodes.
Totally. Well, that's it for us this week. Again, happy Lunar New Year to all of you celebrating.
Right, happy Lunar New Year. Hope you get many red envelopes.
I hope you got a lot of red envelopes and eat lots of foods and stuff. You know what I'm going to do with my red envelopes if I get them?
What?
I'm going to put them all into the Year of the Rooster event.
I guess that makes sense.
Isn't that sound good?
Yeah. Yeah. League of Legends is having a Lunar New Year event.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of their new costumes are jade themed.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool.
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Neat. All right then, guys. See you in 1 week's time. Bye-bye now.
Peace out.